Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Ekasinomics
on Kayo Biz.
Okay, so Ekasinomics is brought to you by Vugile Properties, Centers for Growth. 22 minutes past 7. Let's engage our guests. Thank you so much for joining us in the studio. It's Mo and Michelle Mkoni. They are the co-founders of Mo's Crib. It's a home decor and design company specializing in practical handmade items using recycled and non-invasive materials. So we're talking about sustainable development earlier on, the talks that are happening at the UNGA. So in your own words, just by the way, you look alike. So who's Bo, who's Michelle?
I am Mo Murungwe Mkoni, okay. And this is my sister Michelle. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. All right. So let's start with you, Mo. Tell us about the business. How did it start and what inspired it?
Yes. Yeah, so Mo's Crib is a manufacturing company and we're based out in Pretoria. And we recycle, we make products from sustainable material. We get pipes from landfills and construction sites, like PVC water pipes, and strip them into different product offering. You will find our products in some of the retailers that you know and love, such as Woolworths Home, At Home, Mr. Price Home. We also ship internationally at Target in the USA and Crate and Barrel all over the world. Yeah, so the business came about when I'm actually a born artist, and I had a Japanese roommate who taught me how to make origami sculptures from paper. And, you know, my sister invited me to a market later on. We attended that market and we realized that we are onto something, selling homemade deco design that is made from sustainable material.
It's interesting. I was speaking to one of our guests earlier on, Brian Plunger, just about how do you know your business is bankable from an idea to what is practical? So Mo, Michelle says, you decided you were onto something. What was that thing that made you think we are onto something? And what process did you undergo? Did you test the market at all?
Yes, we tested the market, but I think, you know, most importantly to mention that we were just very entrepreneurial, you know, so we always knew that we wanted to have our own business, and it was just a matter of what it's going to be and when. And we have dabbled in, you know, some businesses while we're young that didn't fail. And I, you know, when we landed on at the market, you know, we had to just really follow what we're feeling at the time. And we thought, yeah, we are just so happy, you know. And I would say that we just went with the flow of how we felt. But another important thing was the way that customers received the product. So this was a product that was very unconventional. The PVC recycled basket was very unconventional. We are the only ones that make this product in the world. And the characteristics of the product as well just made it really shine. And so while
what are some of the examples of those products that you have, at least in South African stores?
Yes. So our flagship product is a PVC basket. It's currently standing at home. We also have, basically, it's a laundry basket. And we have a planter version that you can use it for, like your scatter cushions or a plant. And we also have other products made from grass. And that can be like your trays, your placemats, also laundry baskets and, you know, planters as well. And we also do outdoor furniture. So we've got quite a, you know, a big range. I mean, deco as well, you know, such as wall art. So there's quite a range of products that we do. We started with just 3 SKUs, and now we are just at over 280 SKUs of products over the past 5 years.
Wow. So Michelle, I'm just curious here. I mean, Mo, I'm very curious here because you guys talk a big game in terms of sustainability. You say you were emphasizing fair wages, safe working conditions for local artisans. And these are some of the principles that businesses out there would, you know, push, but they pay lip service to them. When you talk about ethical issues, people just sometimes, you know, it turns off their attention because they look at other things. Just talk to me about how you are able to put this message across and actually prove that, you know, you were putting your money where your mouths are.
And I love that question. You know, Mo's Crib has a set of values that we are so proud of, you know, one of which is our wellness initiative at work, where sustainability is beyond just the product. You know, we care about the environment. We talk about all the recycling that we do. But at the end of the day, we put people over profit. And there's various ways in which we do that through our wellness initiative. Every single day, all of our employees get breakfast and lunch. They also get transport subsidy. They also get medical care. So if ever they feel unwell, they've got access to a nurse that can check them every once a month. We pay for that. They also have a library in the workplace where they can enhance their knowledge, the speaking skills, as well as their reading skills. So we've seen them, some of them improve their speaking and their English and the way that they express themselves. Above and beyond that, we've got a Wellness Friday, which is a free Friday where we get off at the end of every month, where because we understand that aside from being an artisan and a packer or any, you know, support staff at Most Crib, you're also a sister, you're a mother, and you've got errands to take care of. So we definitely have seen changes. And some of our team members actually travel. You know, some of them have never even been to even Mafikeng. And now they've got passport and they've been to Rwanda, Kigali. Last week, we were in Stellenbosch hosting a factory sale, and we took all our team members, including our tea lady, because we believe that everybody has to be seen. When we talk about inclusivity, this is exactly what we mean.
And I'm having thoughts here about coming to work for you before we get into those negotiations. So, Michelle, innovation and sustainability. One would say there's somewhat of odds because not all machinery that leads to innovation necessarily subscribes to, you know, the sensitivities of protecting the environment. So you are entrepreneurs, you are creatives. Did you know anything about how to go about the type of machinery, you know, you should be using, whom to go to, etc.?
Everything else we've learned, you know, we've learned on the journey. We are building our airplane while we're flying it.
Yes.
So one thing about us is that each and every single product that we have in our warehouse is handmade. So there's no machinery that goes into that at all. And part of the reason why that is because we wanted to create sustainable jobs. And when you are creating sustainable jobs, when you are actually creating products made from hand, you need to employ so many people. And by that, you are able to create, you know, sustainable jobs. And that's why we have stuck to that. And it is working for us. And so we've really just, learned along the way. And even with the type of material that we're using, like I would tell you 2 years ago, we were not so clued up about some of the materials that we are using today. You know, some of your banana bark, we were not clued up about that. And so we learned along the way. We are constantly searching. And there's a lot of R&D that goes in our business. It's a very, very big, you know,
aspect,
you know, there on our budget. And so so that's why we are able to just be innovative and be able to create, you know, many products. Right now we are researching on how we can use pineapple peel, you know, in some of our production. And so a lot of what we do, we've just really learned it along the way. It really was just about us following our passion and then letting, you know, learning along the way, essentially.
So speaking about learning along the way, Mo, I'm just wondering here, so your home decor offerings, you say you fashion around people's personal tastes. That must be daunting, because there are disparate tastes and markets. You've mentioned that you are in different markets across the world. So I get research and development, but taste is something that's so personal.
Yes. We really do care about what the customer thinks, and we want to offer a product that is really appealing to the customer and that works for the customer. Luckily, we're very creative beings. So whatever comes to mind, we don't really think so much about it. And this is why we enjoy creativity so much. And this is why pretty much why people enjoy shopping at Most Crib. You know, we kind of think on the fly. We are not trend hoppers. We don't go into something because we've seen it happen multiple times elsewhere. We pretty much want to set our own trend. You know, a lot of the product offering that we have, customers may not ever have seen it before, like our recycled PVC planter, which is really different, unique. It's outdoor friendly. This is a product that we created ourselves, you know, without having heard from anybody else. Like right now, we've just launched a Christmas beads with a collaboration with a company in the USA called Crate & Barrel. It's a Christmas collaboration where these ornaments are made using beads. And it was a product that we created ourselves without any knowledge of whether or not it was going to be successful.
So created and manufactured here.
Everything is locally made. Everything was designed by us, thought of by us, and we, you know, sold the idea to the retailer, and they bought the idea. And you know, a lot of the time we work alongside with our artisans and creating products that have never even been introduced to the market before. We set the trends, and this is why, you know, our products and our the offering that we have is so much loved.
And Michelle, it's interesting that you talk about that. When it talks about beads, I was literally having this conversation with someone yesterday. He was saying to me, do you know that most beads are not manufactured here on the African continent? So just talk to me about this latest offering. How did you circumvent that, if that is indeed truly the case? The raw materials, where do you get them? And how do you ensure that it is about bringing back and keeping the jobs back here at home? And there are a lot of, especially people who are at the lower echelons of the economic rung, who would benefit from that in terms of working with beads. It's not just the cultural economy, the creative economy is something that is spreading and actually putting food on the table for many people.
Yes, I mean, certainly, you know, you just have to keep it, you have to keep it local, you know, where possible. Beads, with the collaboration that we did with beads, we had to look at the, you know, just the artistic heritage. How can we how can we cultivate that, and then how can we keep that, you know, going? I remember when we were young, when we went to the zoo, you'd see so many women outside of the zoo, you know, hawkers basically selling all this African craft, you know, using beads. We used to have these badges of the South African flag with beads, and we don't see that a lot anymore. And so we wanted to preserve that. And so that's how we went into the collaboration. A lot of our raw materials, sometimes we don't even get it in South Africa. We get our raw materials from, you know, African countries, you know, so that's where we procure most of our raw material as well. With the PVC, we procure it here locally, but then the beads were procured locally. You know, in terms of the manufacturing of it, it may have been in another country, but essentially, you know, all our procurement.
How do we fix that? Just in terms of you as well as a business, because you've already entered the market, and your long-term goal, I'd imagine, would be being the go-to people.
Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, I mean, in business, you also have to be careful of owning the complete entire value chain, because at a point where now, you know, you're manufacturing of the raw material goes wrong, you are really doomed. But I think talking about the raw material aspect in terms of grass, you know, I mean, we had a conversation about this to say that, you know, there's just so many opportunities here in South Africa where you are able to actually grow your own raw material. You're able to grow your own grass, you know. What does that do? That creates a lot of jobs. I mean, for instance, in Limpopo, where we get our raw materials off the banana park, they, you know, when our sourcing of that material has really contributed so much to the economy. And so you see that there's just so much opportunity still for us to do so, to do a lot, you know, particularly in manufacturing, you know, all the way from the bottom where you get your raw materials, and not just in the jobs. And so there's just so much that can be done. But, you know, from a business perspective, you also just need to be careful not to, you know, carry so much of a load. Mm. But there are opportunities, especially, like I said, with the grass, you know, to grow it here locally.
Mo, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly what she said, to say we're focused on manufacturing homemade deco design. And, you know, that is our core focus. And that could be the spiral from different materials, from PVC, banana bark. Tomorrow we're using a sisal. Tomorrow, you know, we play around with different types of material. And what we didn't want to, what we are trying to deviate from, is trying to focus on one specific item. Like if we were to open a manufacturing company manufacturing beads, that's a completely different business, you know, that steps away from the home deco that we are currently embarking on.
You speak about authenticity. If you could use your own personal story, I mean, you told me about living abroad and a roommate who taught you how to do origami, but just reflect on your own personal journey, and obviously your sisters, but you have your own individual journeys, and how that's helped you get where you are now? Because a lot of us have dreams, but how to make them real is a very different thing altogether.
Yeah, I mean, my sister and I are very close, and I think this is really the foundation of the business. We grew up in a family, in a household where we were pretty much, you know, we were loved, we were appreciated a lot of the time. And
encouraged, I'd
and
imagine.
And encouraged a lot, a lot. Our parents encouraged us a lot, which is why the name of the company, the Alice Group, is actually named after our mother. And we named this business even before she would pass away, you know. And so just the beginning stages of the intention of us getting this business was really to sort of like shine a light on our mother without even knowing it. That's just to show you how authentic it really is. And then another thing that I would say is authentic about us and our story is that we are two sisters that are very similar but so different. I'm a law school dropout. I dropped out of university when I was 18 years old. I never really wanted to become somebody that is a graduate. I always was creative. I wanted to travel around the world. I've lived in three different parts of the world. I've lived in the UK, I've lived in France, I've lived in Switzerland. And my sister is more the learned one. She's got three degrees.
The academic one.
She's got 3 degrees. She studied at her master's at the University of Bern in Switzerland. And so she has a lot to offer. And so our different traits really, really ignite us so well in the business, and working together is just like such a, it's almost like something, it's a puzzle that really fits so perfectly.
And you know, Michelle, it also echoes some of the sentiments that have been made here in South Africa about not only our curriculum in schools, but being realistic about not every student is meant to be academic, that we need to look at our technical institutions and see how we can empower them. So what would you say to young people out there and living their own true authentic dream? Because sometimes I think we just get corralled into, I want to be a lawyer, I need to be a doctor because it's seen as successful. But how do you follow your own journey by, you know, illuminating your skills and your passion, and skills, it's transferred along the way, but just being able to identify, this is possibly where I could go, what I could do with my life.
That is so true. I think a very important thing that Mo and I always talk about is the importance of really finding authenticity. Being authentic does not necessarily mean that you know, it's this
new concept.
Yeah, it's
you're
sort of
reinventing
concept,
the wheel precisely.
Really just and it comes from exploring. So young people need to explore, and I think the culture that I've seen a lot in South Africa, maybe even globally, is that we are really in a culture where we follow so much what the next person is doing. And I think if you can think of when we were young, growing up, IT was the best thing, right?
And then after IT being the best thing,
it's the CA, right? And when our parents were growing up, becoming a doctor was the in thing. And so we need to really start moving away from that. And one thing that had really helped me, because I mean, I was an economist and I was so stuck into it, and having to step out of that, I had to tell myself, because I heard somebody say, you can reinvent yourself. You know, you can reinvent yourself. You can actually go and study X and then go and, you know, follow a career in Y. And not being too attached to the outcome, right? Especially looking at the kind of economy that we're in with the high unemployment rate, we need to start being creative, and young people need to explore. And there's just so much, there's just so many resources these days where you are able to explore. There's internet, there's, you know, YouTube. You are able to go in there and just see how people are doing things differently and follow that, you know. So I think that there's just so much information. And one important thing that really has certainly helped me, I would say, in my journey was going after what truly made me happy. What was the gusto? What brought out the gusto? What made me joyful? And sitting behind the desk and writing those agricultural economic reports did not bring me gusto, but when I was at that market and I was selling, I was like, this brings me joy. How can I then translate that into something that I can follow as a career?
It's very interesting. Just to wrap up, Mo, I always, and these are questions I've obviously had to face. Firstly, to start off with studying computer programming while doing my broadcast training, and then having to decide and going the journalism broadcasting, that didn't go down well with my family to begin with. But passion and purpose, I always find that they have to coexist, because when you're talking about pivoting, the what you want to do next with your life and your profession can change more. How have you defined your purpose, especially in juxtaposition to Michelle? You have the same passions, but your purpose, as you said, is different because of how you're inclined.
Yeah, and you know what? Our purpose, I mean, it's not one thing. Purpose is not one thing. It's not making a business and selling baskets and recruiting a number of staff members. My purpose could be, well, just being here at Kaya FM right now, speaking to you. Michelle's purpose is a different purpose. She's a mom now. So that could be a purpose that, you know, she's been blessed with. And I think we're blessed with many purposes, and we're not just stuck in one. And I say this because apart from running MoScript, I myself have other businesses that I run that I most also have passion about. So I wouldn't just put myself in one basket to say this is my passion, selling baskets is my passion. But it's dynamic. There's so many various ways to explore as a human being. And that's why Michelle said you need to be able to explore, because you'll find that there's so much more purpose for you than just that one thing that you think that it is your purpose.
Thank you so much for a thoroughly rewarding conversation, and certainly hope to continue with it off air some point. Murongwa and Michelle Mukoni, they are the founders of MoScript. As they mentioned earlier on, their products are in the store, so you can go out there and get them. She mentioned, both of them in fact spoke about the importance of the fact that not only are they sustainable, but their business practices, values are based on ethical practices.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.